Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSP Magazine Podcast Radio. You're about to listen to an episode of Through the Tech Vine. So be quiet, pay attention, and get inspired. There is one truth that is not told enough. Technology is not magic, but it can be magical. Technology is human. It is part of who we are, our evolution, our future. Will it be a dystopian or utopian one? Well, that is up to us and nobody else. Knowledge is power, now more than ever.
Yeah, because I don't know if I'm actually pushing the right button. This technology freaks me out. There is one button to push. You get one job.
And one job button.
I did it. I pushed that button and digitally, you know?
That's right. And it worked. We're live.
I know, but I'm freaking out because I can't feel the, you know, pushing. You know, I don't have the haptic.
The haptic response.
Maybe we'll talk about that.
I think so, because I keep wondering about dogs and haptic response, because the dog doorbells for Nick and Nora, you can feel it. It like pushes down and there's an audio because the doorbell unit rings, the sound unit rings. But there's this very haptic response, but we have the bells, the buttons mounted on cobblestones so that they can push them down. They didn't like pushing them on the door. And sometimes they'll just paw at the side of the cobblestone. And I'm like, don't you understand the haptic response, guys? Like, it didn't give you that boop, boop. You know, it's just, it's cobblestone. And then they'll look around like, why isn't it working? It's because you needed to make that bouncy button.
Maybe the dogs, I don't know, is there a research that says dogs feel that? Like, if there is that reaction feedback, do they need that feedback, or is more like an audio feedback maybe because that's what they use most, or smelly feedback?
Right. I mean, I'd be curious, one would assume that they can feel the haptic feedback on mm-hmm. their paw, and there is that audio too. So when they just paw at the cobblestone, they get neither the haptic feeling under the paw, nor do they have an audio, but it's still occasionally they'll hit them, more so Nick than Nora's a little bit, like quicker on the uptake, but they'll hit the side of the cobble and just be like, why isn't it working?
Well, that's why I'm so serious. I don't hear that click, right? You know, that recording. I don't hear the,
why isn't it working?
Yeah, I know. But it's working. We're on. We're live.
You did it.
Hopefully there is people listening to us. We're on episode number 12. Can't believe it. We still don't have a guest. Nobody likes us.
And we do. We have a guest right now.
We do. Oh, yeah. Our guest. Did you invite Sean? Is he our guest? Oh, he disappeared.
No, it's just a lightning cable.
It's just, it doesn't look like him anymore. Something's going on.
It's lightning cable, Sean.
Well, it's the two of us. So okay. Until you come back, that's cool.
I'm here audibly, I think.
Oh yeah, you're okay. There.
My camera's just having fun with me. Technology.
You look like a cable.
Look like a micro.
Something.
Something cable.
Thought maybe you were ashamed to be seen with us.
Is that too?
That too. We're going there. We're going there already. It's okay. You know, at the end of the day, it's a podcast.
It is.
Or a radio program. So that's
I'm going to nuke the camera because clearly it doesn't want to stay connected today.
Okay.
That's good. That's good. Not a problem. So, Diana, anything special this past weekend or anything technological? I know you share something cool with me. Maybe we should talk a little bit about that. That virtual experience, which I'm not sure is virtual. It's I think it's immersive, right?
I think it is immersive. And yeah, I did not bring that one only because I felt that I didn't understand it well enough. You know, I thought maybe should I, because there's one in Boston. I started thinking, should I go so I can talk about it? But yeah, it sounded very cool. And since I know how you feel, there's an immersive experience around the globe of his art and things like they have 30-foot high walls and the art, you know, this stars and starry night move around the room, and it just sounds really. So when I saw that over the weekend, I had to.
Yeah, there is that. I think there is a Monet one, not to be confused with Manet, which is different.
Right. That's right.
I know
flat
that there is
versus lilies.
Exactly. I know there is a Sistine Chapel that they're bringing around and projecting it on a high definition on the dome that is completely immersive. It literally seems like being there, except that you're not in Rome. And so I think more and more this virtual experience, it may be what we need to bring more art and knowledge to people. Why not?
How do we feel about that? You know, this reminds me of the Anthony Bourdain AI voice. You know, when the artists painted their pieces, they painted them, you know, they think about size, you know, the coloring, you know, sometimes they would have notes on, you know, the lighting that when they were displayed, they often picked out the frames. So they thought a lot about that, and these immersive experiences and virtual experiences are now really playing with how to bring us into the art in a new way, but it's not the same way that the artist intended. So good or bad?
Well, Sean, any opinion?
None whatsoever. it's well, no. I mean, I was going to say it's bad for the artist, perhaps, but then again, who cares, right? Let the people experience what they want.
He's dead anyway.
That's right.
Who cares?
You know? That's right.
We'll worry when we meet him again.
Well, if we harken back to that episode, I think my opinion or viewpoint on it was, as long as we're clear that it may not completely accurately represent.
Yeah.
Then we know there's some leeway given.
Yeah, but we also went back into, just to connect to last conversation, was started with music, a digital instrument, a laser harp for those that didn't hear that. And then from there, we went into how it also is allowing everybody to do more music, paint, even on an iPad or a tablet, and show it to people instead of just, you know, many people paint for themselves. Now that we got this medium. And I think that what is happening now when you have this immersive experience, sure, it's definitely not what Van Gogh thought about. There's no questions about it. But I think it's that creative that you put a step and then you create on top of a creative piece, an art inspire more art. And I think in the end, if you get to get interested in art, get interested in history, get interested in anything, I think is positive. I think is learning and education. So I'll take it.
And you know, you make a good point too, of what if the artists had different, had some of this technology. So thinking about Monet, not Manet, you know, but Monet really loved light. So he would do haystacks over the course of a day and how the light changed on the haystack of Rouen Cathedral and how the light changed on it. So he might have really loved something. And I don't know if this is part of that immersive experience, but if they could put those pictures and sort of have you feel like you were watching them through the course, he might have really been like, he might have super dug that, you know.
Oh. Totally. It would freak out to begin with. Imagine you go in a time machine and you're like, hey, dude, come here. Let's go see what's going on in 2021. And wear these goggles and here you go. Then once you digest it, then maybe it will come up with so many brilliant ideas and creative things to do.
Oh, see if we'll ask Keanu Reeves if he goes back for a Bill and Ted 4. We'll have him bring a Monet.
Nice.
Yeah.
Let's class that up a bit.
Bring it down to like 90s and 80s culture right there.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. That's a good start. I like how we did the connection with what we did last time. So it was the harp and there was. Was some robot as well, if I'm not wrong. That was two weeks ago. And And did you see the other robots from Boston Dynamic now? Because you brought the dog.
I brought the, yeah, the sort
and
of
now there are the dog. Videos out there of Atlas, which is this robot that is doing jumps like he's a gymnast.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive, balancing and stuff, and it's all over the internet. So
yeah,
that's another step.
Yeah.
That's another step. Robocop.
Robocop, right? Take that, Peter Weller.
But can it walk Digidog? That's a question.
Oh, good question.
And it's going to be a family of robots going around the neighborhood. Right. And people will be like, yep, my neighbors are robots. Well, there you go.
You need your robot person to walk your robot dog. Yeah.
Well, a good thing the dog would not, the robot dog probably is not going to, you know, do his number two on your lawn, which is probably a good thing. You don't have to pick it up.
This is programmed to do so.
Yeah. <That's laughs> right. We want to bring it to next level of reality. All right.
Realism.
All right. All right. All right. All right. Do we want to just go in with the news?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
So I got a little bit of neurohacking to bring in. Uh-huh. And it's research that's been going on for a while, but it's continuing to advance and continuing to look promising. So it may not be new for everybody, but if you haven't heard about this yet, if you have anybody in your family that's had Alzheimer's or dementia, this could really be meaningful to you. I have a great grandmother that, according to my family, had some sort of dementia that appeared like Alzheimer's. My grandmother did have Alzheimer's, and my mother, before she died, or in her early 70s, was exhibiting some memory issues. So it's pretty near and dear to my heart because it's coming down. It's shown it's coming down the line, and that puts me next. And so I think about this a lot and try and do what I can to stave it off. So you know, eat right, get sleep, exercise. But there's really no, when those plaques and tangles lodge into your brain, sometimes there's just nothing that you can do to prevent it. And as you know, there was there's a whole big controversy going on about FDA approval of an Alzheimer's drug that some scientists say shouldn't have been approved. It may be overpromising. You know, it's a big concern for a lot of people. So any therapy that can help, I think that, you know, is going to be of interest to a lot of people. And this is kind of a cool therapy in that it wouldn't be at all expensive. It's neurohacking, and it's neurohacking with light and sound. And they first found that light and strobing light at people's at eyes, they tested on mice initially. If you strobed light at 40 hertz, and it was 1 hour a week that these mice watched it, and then over the course of the week, it actually reduced the number of amyloid plaques in the brains of these mice. And some researchers realized that, I guess, auditory and visual, they get to different parts of our, I'm no neuroscientist, right? They get to different parts of our brain. And so they decided to test now just not the strobe lights at 40 hertz, but also auditory. So not quite ASMR, but you know, we're not talking music or anything. No beautiful harps like Sean's laser harp.
Some frequency you're talking about.
Yeah, the frequency and getting these sounds, this auditory you know, support at 40 hertz to go with the lights. And then this actually created this dramatic change in the brains of the mice. And they were really able to reduce and clear out the parts of the brain that are related to memory, which, you know, where the plaques were. So this is incredibly promising in the mice with these when it's an hour for a week, and they got really significant improvement. A couple weeks later, the improvement would taper off. So this would be something that, if it is a therapy, it would probably be people that wanted to stave off Alzheimer's and to keep their brain healthy. It might be something that you incorporated into your routine for an hour a day, similar to doing, you know, your workout an hour a day. But it's very non-invasive and it's promising. And so they're now working on research to see what they can replicate in humans. And the early research has been really quite promising, that what they've seen in the mice can be seen in the human. So neurohacking with light and sound to keep your memory crisp and clear for your life.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's Sean, you want to go? I feel like I'm always talking.
You're always talking.
I know. I'm like, am I Italian or something?
So I don't know the statistics, but I suspect many people have some connection to this disease in some way, some family mm-hmm. member or friend that they've experienced it, myself included. So I've seen it. It's very difficult for all parties, the patient diagnosed with it and the people surrounding and presumably loving them. So anything that helps this, I'm all for. I think not directly related, but I have some friends that are in that are professional music therapy doctors. So they go in and help patients recover and be better through music. So I see the connection to sound. I know you said it isn't the harp music from the last episode, but it is sound, right? And so we've talked about this in previous podcasts where sounds make us feel different things. And so I think getting the brain to function and fire in different ways based on sound and light, as you're saying, I think is pretty cool.
Yeah. And on top of that, sorry, Diana, but I'm thinking sound therapy is not just about music. I mean, the Tibetan bowl, like the monk use, it's a frequency that you have when you move, you know, the you create this frequency with the metal these bowls are made of, and also other form of therapy. I mean, is meditation as well. I mean, it does induce certain things to your brain. That's what I'm saying. So for me, anything that doesn't require to take a drug or even implant a piece of electronic in a sensor in your brain, which, you know, start to get on different level of biohacking, then I really welcome that. I mean, imagine, say, hey, you do these every day for an hour and you fence this problem, or you don't need to take a medication that is gonna probably bring, as many times happen, you cure something and then you need another medicine to go with that medicine to cure the side effect of that medicine. So anything that is natural, it's definitely welcome because...
Well, that's a question. Are there side effects from this?
Well, you know, so they've only got the positive side effects of that it seems to be clearing the amyloid plaques, or it is clearing the amyloid plaques. But interestingly, and I not a nurse, not a doctor, but the...
We're not giving advice here. Don't follow on.
No. The auditory sounds also has an impact, according to what the research I read, on blood vessels, which sounds fascinating to me. So I hopefully the side effects are positive, but you raise a good point, Sean, that if it's going to have this kind of physiological effect on us, on our brain, and is there only upside, or could there be some, I mean, so far it looks like upside, but yeah, could
there is always this, there's always an effect. If you're hot, you take a shower, then you're wet. But if you focus on the fact that you don't want to be wet, then stay hot, you know? There's always a cause and an effect. You have to pick, you know, whatever you want.
Marco says, get over it.
Get over it. If it's good, right? It's risk assessment. If you're going to do that, and maybe there is some side effect, but your main problem is under control, then go ahead and do that. I mean, that's the way I see it. I just put the numbers and whatever, if it's positive, take it. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think the other interesting point that Diana makes is that the effect from the cause isn't just in the brain. It's also the blood vessels. So I'm wondering, is there something in the blood that changes? Does it change the blood structure? That changes the blood. I'm not asking you specifically, Dan. I'm just
Yeah.
In general, if you have answers, that's great. But is there something that, does it change the blood? Does it change the vessel? Does it drive changes in the muscle then? Does it then, the heart is a muscle? Does it transfer down to, or to that point? I don't know. Lots of interesting things to explore. I'm sure they're doing that. But.
I would say probably. For sure. You know, everything keeps circulating. So yeah, again, we do so many things that we don't know what it's gonna do. You know, we burn fossil fuel. We thought it was cool and cheap, and look where we are.
Saying it's not cool and cheap.
Absolutely not.
That is a good point. Like, I think I read that like all of us have some level of microplastics in us at this point, and which, right? Yeah, I mean, I don't think any of us thought.
Yeah.
That
I mean, again, if we throw plastic in the ocean, and the fish eat the plastic, and we eat the fish, and it goes in the water, and then it comes back down. I mean, nothing really goes away, right? I mean, we had this idea like, we'll just burn trash. Yeah, well, it's not really just, or let's just put it under the carpet. let's just throw it in the water, in the ocean. Like, okay, that's the equivalent of throwing garbage and, dust under the carpet. Eventually, it's going to come back. Exactly. And then we're going to trip on it.
Tall carpet.
Yeah. So, yeah. But I mean, that's what I love about what we do. It's kind of like, but what if? I mean, this show could be called What If? Because we're really good at, hey, wait a minute. But what if? So, and I love that. What if it's the way to think, right? What if I do this? And what if I don't? Yeah.
Action has a reaction. So
That's for sure. But I mean, those are anything that it can resolve this really bad.
Does inaction have a reaction?
What's that?
Does inaction have a reaction?
Yes. Ooh, nothing happened.
Nothing happened.
The consequence of doing nothing is that nothing happened. So there is something. The sound of silence.
When you clap.
Exactly. Sean, what's up with you? Anything? Bring an instrument today.
I brought sound. It's not an instrument, but it's related to sound. And it's about augmented reality.
Ooh.
Okay.
And basically, it goes a little something like this. You have a group of friends over.
Once upon a time.
Once upon a time. Yeah. Right. It was a dark and stormy. I'm gonna tell you this story. It was a dark and stormy night. The kids around the fire sat. They said, "Tell us a story, Jack." And Jack said, "Okay, kids, here it goes." It was a dark and stormy night. The kids around the fire sat. Kids said, "Hey, Jack, tell us a story." Jack said, "Okay, kids, here it goes." It was a, I'm going to stop. You get the idea.
Anyway,
talking about echoes.
echoes. All right. So the real story is you're sitting around with a group of friends and you want to play a game. So you pick out, we've talked about Risk before, the game board Risk. So you can bust out a game board of Risk, sit around and play that game. Or you could pop in your headsets, your AirPods, your equivalent, and connect to an audio augmented reality world where each of you receive sounds and directions to participate in this game. Diana might be told, let's say it's a game of hide and seek, running away from zombies. Diana could be told, go to the garage and get a piece of rope. And Marco could be told to get some water from the kitchen. And I could be told to get a blanket or something. And I'm just making this up on the fly. One of us is the zombie. Do we know which one of us is a zombie? And so basically it's this game where we're interacting and based on our actions, and there could be potentially sensors in the environment as well that shows where we are and what we say to each other, and that drives the game and changes the tone of the music, the sound, and the actions that each of us receive as part of that game. That's one example. Another is multiple people in different locations experiencing a flight together. So it's a virtual reality flight, each watching their own screen. We, based on who's driving the airplane or whatever it is we're in, it'll change the audio and everything for everybody else. Now then, of course, there's always the commercial end of it, where I'm going to go down to here where they talk about the commercial end. They use a Nike example where Nike knows you're a fan of basketball. So when you walk into the store, they follow you around playing sounds of basketball games, and your feet matched to the sneaker sound squeaking on the floor. So basically getting you to want to buy a new pair of sneakers. So anyway, it's interesting that they call it 3D audio, augmented reality audio, direct into ears, some driven by sensors, driven maybe games. But since we've been talking a lot about art, I also thought, well, perhaps based on what people do, it could actually create sounds and create art as well. So that's my tech for this week.
I was going to say I had my own audio moment there, but that was my cat who decided she didn't want to be with me in this room anymore.
So. It was that game.
Yeah, yes. And she was not going to take no for an answer.
Diana, you go. I keep thinking.
I'm having trouble figuring out use cases. Like the game thing was was interesting. It makes me think of if you've ever been to one of those host a mystery games, and everybody has a different, you know, the part of the way that game works is people have different pieces of information. So it would be really good for them. They could have that in an audio manner rather than
reading. I thought about Clue, the game. Remember?
Yeah, Clue. If you run tabletop exercises for incident response, one of the things that you do is you give people different pieces of information because that's the way that it happens in an incident response activity. You know, different teams may discover, you know, the legal team may find something in a contract that relates to what you're doing in the incident. HR may have something to say if it was an insider threat, and the technical team is looking at, you know, the forensics related to that. So you could feed what you normally have, again, that's written into the audio, which for some people might be better because some people don't enjoy reading or don't comprehend. So I thought of those two use cases, and then I got stuck thinking about what else. The airplane one just didn't feel. I didn't get it. I'm not getting it.
I'm gonna try to unstuck you.
Okay, thank you. I need you, Marco, to unstick me.
So what I'm thinking is, you're okay, as you say, you're augmenting reality but without visual, just audio. Yeah.
Right.
And it makes me think, like, damn it, that's what I do all day long. I listen to audiobook, I listen to the radio. I love the old radio drama, the radio production, when there are different actors that are part of the book. There are many books now that are like that. Great actors. There is the sound effect. If you listen to, I don't know, the Treasure Island, I've done that recently, and it was a super big production of, you know, the boat and the wind, and you hear the crackling of the pirate boat and everything. You open the door and you hear the special. So for me, that's like, I love that because I can see it in my head. So all these applications, it sounds great. Like, okay, we're together, but we're not together, and we are focusing on this experience, which is what you used to do with the radio as a family when TV was not around.
True.
Create a reality around you. And I but find picture, it really cool.
That story now, Marco. Let's assume something is running behind you. So you can hear it running behind you in this audio. And now you turn around. Is it still running behind you? No, it's now in front of you. So the audio changed.
Kind of like change around you.
So now it's running toward you.
I love it.
From the front.
Okay. Have you ever tried to watch an horror movie without music? It's not scary at all.
They're silly. Right? Yeah.
I mean, the feelings that the music gives when it prepare you to like dun 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 dun, right? That thing that it gets you ready for something to happen, or it's the relaxing or the epic moment where, you know, the hero is about to win. It's part of that. And we are, you know. I mean, it connects to what you just thought about, you know, how much audio can do to us. And I like this. Now, the commercial part of it, it's interesting because it creates an environment where it appeals to you. You know, it's kind of, I'm thinking, let's say you bring the Nike example, you're in the store, at the sports store, right? So what I'm envisioning, Sean, is you're walking towards the basketball corner and you start hearing basketball sound, right? You know, the basketball that bounce on the ground, the squeaky of the shoes. And then maybe you move towards, I don't know, the baseball side, and you can still the crowd cheering and the bat that hit the ball, or don't know. I'm not a big baseball fan, but anyway, there's gotta be some noise about that, apart from opening a beer or something like that. But, you know, I mean, I can see that. You're running, you may be feeling like you're in the street or in a park, and you hear the tapping of your shoes. It is an augmented reality.
Yeah. Have either of you done silent disco?
Silent disco?
Silent.
Like flash mob stuff where everybody's, yeah.
Everybody's given a, where I've seen it is everybody's given a set of headphones.
Yeah.
And you pick a channel and a DJ plays to that particular channel on the headset. And so, you have multiple groups dancing to different tracks. So one group of the larger group is dancing a certain way to a certain beat, and different groups are dancing to a certain bit, song, different beat. So I think it was slightly inspired by that. It doesn't say silent disco in the article. But so now picture the DJ saying, everybody clap your hands or start jumping or get in a circle. So almost like a Simon Says type of thing. And again, there's other sounds, not just the Simon Says, but other sounds that make you move a certain way. So maybe the sounds could create a wave like you see at a baseball stadium. So you know when it's your turn to raise your hand based on where you are and the sound that you hear. So I'm making some of this up on the fly, but it creates a different world from the one you're seeing.
Have you guys heard of this movie Coda?
Yes.
I've seen ads, but I haven't seen it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we watched it this weekend. It's like, it's a tearjerker on purpose, but it's CODA stands for Children of Deaf Adults. And the family is deaf except for the daughter. And they like rap music a lot because it's got this really heavy beat, so they can feel the music. And at one point in the movie, the daughter is singing because her true love is a song, and she wants to be a professional singer. And the family goes to watch her perform, and they stop the sound because the family can't hear her. They stop the sound first you're in the audience as a hearing person, and then they stop the sound, and you experience the way they do, which is that they don't have any feedback. There's no bass. They can't feel any. So thinking about that, which is, it's very well done in the movie. You know, you suddenly helps you to get inside what it's like. To be a non-hearing person, not that you can totally experience, but as good as a movie can do, it's really well done. But I was wondering, you know, like maybe something like that, like because they can hear, you know, beats and vibrations. Maybe this could help deaf people kind of be able to experience a little bit more of the world. Maybe they can't get all the sound, but maybe they can get like that rhythm or that beat and participate mm-hmm. a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that too. I think the difference that is that when you can get the sound, you don't have to be busy with your vision. You don't have to look at the screen. So you can bring that experience with you. And again, I do that every day when I listen Audible. And sometimes I just walk longer with my dogs because I'm like into a chapter that I really want to know what's going on. So I'm like, all right, we go another block before we go back, right? So I love that. I love to imagine my own, you know, my own movie when I listen to a book or when I read a book. But if I read it, I have to stay still. I have to use my eyes, like if I watch a movie. But if I'm listening, I can do other things. I can multitask. So I think the application is wider if you augment the reality like that. But even the experience is telling a story. I love, Sean, your example about here's somebody behind you and you hear the tapping and then maybe a door slamming. I mean, it really is an Halloween, you know?
Yeah.
An Halloween thing. Really cool. Maybe we'll do that. Maybe there is a dark room and all you hear is sound effect and you build a story with that.
There you go.
Kind of cool. All right. Well,
what do you got, Marco?
I was in between a lot of things.
Food?
No, food soon. Food. Soon, okay. Food. No, not talking about that. No, I'm actually going to connect with everything that we talk about because I was reading about the tech history and I ended up on video games and I ended up in 1980. There was Pac-Man and then there was Tetris in 1984. And there is, you know, a little of an explanation on how they come out. And then I got to Sims. Remember Sims? The simulation of, you know, you live a different life. Yeah. I personally didn't play that. But it's one of the most successful video games that has been out there. And they've done like a different variation of it. So it's these people living the life that they want to live and is not the real life. Now, for the first time, sorry if I haven't read that before, I'm actually listening to Ready Player One. And don't know if you're familiar with that, but it's about this immersive virtual reality world in this 2045 year where society is kind of collapsed in a lot of different ways and people go into this oasis, which is their virtual world. And they work there, they live there, they shop there. It's like a meta universe, a metaverse. And so, you know, I'm really liking it. I don't know if you read it, but if you didn't, I think you should. And I start to think about even the way, Sean, that we can connect it to what your example, like augmented reality, telling story with sounds and music, and how it's just the next evolution of reading a book. I mean, as human, we always want to hear somebody else's life. We want to go in somebody else's shoes. We want to leave, you know, we'll watch the movie and we feel like we're part of that movie. We feel about that character. We read a book, it's the same thing. We kind of escape reality or go as a pleasure in a different reality. Doesn't mean you have to escape your reality, but it's something we do when we listen to music, when we do this thing. So now going into this completely virtual world where we end up living, it's a completely different story. But I'm wondering if it's just a natural evolution of, given the media available, if it's something that it's just part of who we are. Are we going to end up living in a virtual world like Ready Player One? Go for it.
I think we're already there.
Okay. Do you have good goggles and optic gloves?
I do. No, I don't know. I mean, there's, I don't know if Diane has something here, maybe, but I don't know. I often wonder, are we going to be living in goggles, right? And wearing all this crap so we can feel a different world than we're in now. And it's one thing to log into a computer and play a game and do that. And I haven't experienced Ready Player One, so I don't know what's going on there to really comment on that part. But I often wonder, and Mark, we've talked about this before as well, is like, are we just going to be in a pod and wearing a bunch of crap so we live in a world that we'd rather be in than versus the one that we really are in? And I always ask the question, well, is that going to be either overstimulating, so consistent because of we've trained this world to be like we want it, and therefore it's kind of vanilla for us, and or is it going to be overstimulating, or is it going to be something that we get bored of and we actually prefer the real life? Drop the gloves and go back. And the example I use is ride a real wooden roller coaster,
a virtual. Yeah. But one doesn't exclude the other.
I know.
Well, we could.
Unless it does. Yes.
Well, if we're all virtual and there's no need to keep the wooden coaster running.
True.
Right. I mean, it makes me think of, the man, the old Steve Martin movie, and the man with two brains, and he's in love with Anna Melmahay, and she's just a brain in a jar. And, you know, that's sort of what we can, at some level, we can become if we go into an all virtual reality, right? We're just like sort of a brain in a jar. But there's also a whole lot of stuff in the real world that you take your dogs for a walk. Marco, there's the whole concept of forest bathing. And if you go out and you walk in nature, you physically feel really, really different. I'm not sure we can bring that all in. If you're outside enjoying a wonderful meal with family and friends and, you know, on a nice day, I mean, that is the kind of thing that you just, we don't have the capacity to bring that online. Sure, we can create a Sims and I can create a kind of funky house that may be a dream house, but there's still so much in the real world, or even talking about our dogs and our cats. I mean, there's Nora and Nick are just so ground. They're real world. And for me to spend time with them, I have to be in real world with them. I actually, when we go hiking, I really like to have, there's nothing in my ears. We listen to the sounds together, and you know, we look for the squirrels and the chipmunks together and the birds, and that's kind of the fun of it, is all being in. So I don't know, I just at this point I don't feel like we're gonna get that complete. I spent plenty of time, I have plenty of screen time, but there's just no way to bring the wonderful beauty of a leaf crunching under your foot, or a twig, or that little chipmunk's, you know, scurrying into a log as you go by, the smell of fresh ferns.
And I don't want to give that up. Stubbing your toe on the root that's sticking out of the ground.
Many times. Twisting your ankle. Yes.
Twisting the ankle. But those are experiences. You appreciate you appreciate things when you do some of those other things you may not enjoy.
Yeah. Yes. I'm not okay. Let me rephrase that. What I said, meaning, this is not
we didn't take it to Marco he wanted. We took it
in a dystopia reality where life sucks because it's a post atomic Mad Max world, let's say, and
zombie apocalypse.
It is food post atomic.
Yeah, I mean the pasta atomic, is that your new recipe?
Yes, exactly.
It's so good as radioactive.
Delicious.
The taste doesn't decay in your mouth. It stays there forever. Wow. Jeez. Well, it's a good thing. If you like pesto An atomic pesto pasta.
And it would glow in the dark.
I didn't order pesto.
And glow in the dark.
I didn't order pesto. Okay,
how did we get there?
A life. Jesus.
The three of us is kind of like
life of pesto. Pasta. Pasta.
Pesto pasta atomic. No, my point is that it's not a complete immersion as your life become virtual, but is that escape that we need to experience world, fantasy world. I mean, look at when you, as a kid, I don't know, you play Dungeons and Dragons, you listen to story, you watch the movie, you read a book, you take yourself away from reality. If you're doing fantasy read or game or anything. So this virtual reality immersion, of course, it could be very addictive for some that they never want to leave it, as they always want to watch TV or any other kind of addiction. But I'm thinking, like, isn't just the natural evolution of experiencing something that you can actually touch in a different world. Of course, I agree with you, Diana. I mean, if that means that you're just living your life there, I mean, unless they put a tube in your stomach, you're going to still have to, you know, you're in the matrix.
Listen, get Nick.
Because that's the next level. You're in the matrix. <You know? laughs> But I think just it's fascinating, and it comes from conversation we have lately about, you know, all this research that is done now for virtual reality, augmented reality, extended reality, and how, you know, what drives that?
Yeah, that's a good point, because, you know, we read or we listen to audiobooks to get us a little bit, you know, outside. I mean, for me, I use it to calm me down at the end of the day. I love to read, you know, to just shut down all the other stuff that's been going on in my brain and get me into whatever the world or the research, if it's a nonfiction book that I'm reading. So I see what you're saying. You're saying if that is pretty easy to box, because it's immersive, but it's not basically encompassing. And virtual reality, if we go there for the escape, could it just become encompassing and people aren't able to lift themselves out other than right? There's already Soylent for people that are just working all the time, don't even have time to eat like a nice nuclear reactive pasta. They drink the Soylent. So, I mean, I guess I hear what you're saying. Is you're saying, what if it just becomes too overwhelming for some people and we lose them? They go into this space and don't come out.
It's one of the premises of these, because I'll be honest, I've not played, certainly in depth, not played any of these sim games. Isn't the idea that you can create an environment in like a split second? So a lot of the, and I guess what I'm getting to is it about getting to the destination of what you want to experience immediately and forgetting the journey and the experience that comes with the journey? Or can you create the journey as well? To a destination?
So I've played The Sims, not recently, but the reason that I stopped playing The Sims was, at least in the version I played and how I played it, and if there are some like Sims experts that are like, she's an idiot, maybe I played it wrong, but as my experience with it was that you actually had chores and things that you had to do, and you had to or do something to earn money, right? So if you wanted to build a house, you wanted to
very close to reality, right?
You needed to actually do something to earn that. And, you know, if you didn't do the dishes, like my big memory of playing The Sims was that I didn't do the dishes enough, and so flies were collecting and they were always buzzing around in my house. And that's one of the reasons I stopped, because I'm like, look, I have enough issues doing my own dishes in real life. I'm not doing them in some virtual.
See, that's a great point, because if I want to, if you're creating exactly the same life, then I don't want to do that. I want to fly a freaking dragon and slay monsters. That's what I want to do. Only that's why I never play Sims, but I
no play dragons World of Warcraft. Until you wash the dishes. No dragons.
That's right. No flying dragons until those dishes are done and the trash is taken out.
Yeah. Well, the cool thing, and I think we can close with that, is that apart from the fantasy and the fun and the game and the commercial aspect of it, what we have learned, and I want to do some episode actually on the metaverse from a technology perspective and sociological perspective, is that the application now is training. It's mental health, is overcoming fears, because you can really immerse yourself and have your brain react to certain things. Like if you have fear of heights, you will feel like you are training yourself to resist that fear, because you're really stimulating your brain to believe that you're doing that. And if you can get over that, then you're actually getting over that in the real world. And so there is simulation of many things. There is, of course, learning how to take care of flying a plane on a simulator that's been going on for a very long time. And so the application is not just fun and game, although, that's what we probably think about. So, cool.
It's not just fun and game. It's food, fun and games and dishes.
Atomic food.
Sean wants the food.
Atomic food.
As long as it glows in the dark, I'm all good.
Always about the food.
Well,
you have to be able to see it in the dark.
If next time, next Thursday, you see me glowing green, it means I've tried to do the pesto atomic pasta.
There you go.
And maybe I should have not bought that basil. In the end.
That's right.
So,
Robo basil.
Yeah. Robo basil. Well, yeah, don't do that. Definitely don't do that. Stay organic if you can. That's my suggestion. And with that, Sean.
Yeah. Next week.
Next week.
Time. Can't wait to welcome our new guest.
Yeah. I'm going to play the guest next time. I'm going to call myself, I don't know, Giuseppe or something. And put some mustache and and talk with my hands more like, hey. Here's my past. I can make fun of myself. So
be your own stereotype.
I am my own stereotype, so don't give me crap for that. All right, we hope you had fun. Yep. We sure did, and touched
everybody
some. I think we touched, as usual, some important topic that hopefully will make you think. And I did. I'm thinking right now.
Therefore,
cogito ergo sum. Peace out.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Through the Tech Vine podcast. If you learned something new and this podcast made you think, then share itspmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our podcast channels. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.